Oh, there we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. It's me, your host, a totally local podcast. With me, most of the time, Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. How's it going, my man?
Hey, good morning. Everything is going. I'm working from home this morning. Got stuck with the kids, no babysitter.
Oh,
we make it happen. We make it happen.
How do you get them? Just as a new parent, I got to know. How do you get them to not make any noises and scream in the background?
Television and toys.
There it is. Our special guest this week, Andrea Pallara. She's a personal coach, personal growth coach, business coach. How would you define yourself?
I always say I'm a business coach, and I specialize in also relationships and personal development.
Nice. All right. So just to, just tell us the shortcut, basically. How do we fix ourselves real quick? How do we make our lives better? Go.
Real quick?
Yeah, just real quick.
A glass of wine. how do you fix yourself real quick? Well, I don't know. Quick's always the answer, but I always think that if you take the time to make a plan, mm-hmm. that's probably it.
So
I always say dream without a plan is only a wish. So to make a plan for your dream, that's the quickest way to get to your results.
Perfect.
For fixing anything.
I love that. So, I mean, is that when people come to you and they ask you, like, hey, you know, something's not going right. My relationships aren't going right. Maybe I'm a youngster going off to school or something. I need help straightening out, you know, my teenager who's just kind of lost. What is the first thing when you sit down with somebody, like what's the first thing you kind of get to, or what's the first thing you kind of ask them?
I always do the same thing almost, a lot of listening, finding out why they're sitting in my space, you know, when they're at my office, what brings you here today or over the phone, and really just feeling where their energy is around why they're there. And because it's all about awareness, like where are you at, where do you want to be, mm-hmm. and then we can figure out what the disconnect is, and then we can figure out the path. It's like the directions. I always call it a roadmap. Uh-huh. Where are we at? Where do we want to go? Let's put together a roadmap that's quick and easy and painless and fun, and let's just go for it. And we break that down into a real strategic plan and doable baby steps and accountability, and then everything happens.
This seems like to me, and I, you know, obviously just met you, but you've got a vibe to you, Andrew. You got a vibe. And what that vibe tells me is that, like, people have been coming to you and asking you for advice even before you were officially a coach. Am I right or am I right?
Absolutely. Really, since I'm a very young girl in elementary school, I would have people come to me. I think I'm a good listener. And if you get to know me for a very short period of time, you can see I move through life through my heart, you know, connecting and helping people. So since I was a little girl, people would ask me advice. Adults would ask me advice. They'd find themselves talking to me about their relationship, and I'm in third grade. And then they go, oh my God, you're only 10 or 13. But I was always like that, like an old soul and a good listener. And taking the time out from a party, an event, a wedding, sitting there talking with people all through high school. Ironically, I looked at my yearbook recently, and half the things that were written was, hey, thanks for cutting class with me and taking the time to listen about my breakup. Or everything was always about thanks for listening, thanks for your advice. Even if I cut school and got in trouble for it, I was there as a good listener. So I think I've been doing it a long time.
That's cool. That's cool. How did you and Aaron link up? How do you guys know? Did Aaron come to you one day and he needed some advice, or how'd that happen?
Is that for me, or you want to answer that?
I want your version of the story.
Ooh, juicy.
Actually, we met through some networking events. We had some mutual business networking events in the community, I would say. And Aaron was involved with some community groups. And I had like 3 or 4 clients, I believe, in the same networking group that he was in, that I was coaching at the time. And one of our mutual business friends was having a grand opening for a new business. And I found myself there, and Aaron was there, and we ended up taking some group pictures because we were both in the inner circle with this individual, like as people important in their life. And they said, this is my coach, Andrea. And I asked him, I said, did you ever have a coach? And well, you own your business. And we started talking a little bit. And I do remember what you said, Aaron, do you? He says, actually, I have two coaches. And I said, ah, then they must not be good. You just need one, me. And we laughed. And then through the years, we have not done coaching together, but we have done endeavors together. And we've done I run workshops every month in Ocean and Monmouth County usually, and Aaron has sponsored some. Aaron has attended some. Aaron has sent some of his employees to some of my business workshops as well. And then we've done a lot of networking, some partying, and socializing together as well.
So
that would be my take.
What would these workshops, like, what are some of the titles, or what would you go over in these workshops?
Oh, we do all different titles, but some of the common ones are time blocking, dynamic communications, how to influence others, kind of like the art of the sale type thing, follow-up systems, important in business. People don't follow up enough. They leave leads all over the place. They're always, we do marketing, but even we spend a lot of money marketing, but then we don't do follow-up, so I'm always like, shame, shame on follow-up. How to network like a millionaire was a really great one. Just knowing that everything you need is right around you. So, and when people are in sales and business, and a lot of small business owners that I work with, it's just their systems. So you could hire some great people, but then you have to be a great leader and give them all the tools to succeed and bring in the productivity. And so I always go through the topics that are really hot topics when I work one-on-one with my clients, and they end up that everybody needs communication, follow-up, dynamic relationships, doesn't mean with partners, relationships in business and life, time blocking, those type of topics usually.
So Andrea and I did the last event we did, one, I guess that was in the fall, right?
Time is flying and still time at the same flying. Time.
It was either the fall or it was the early winter. We were down in Point Pleasant at B2 Bistro. And we did a workshop on influence and dynamic communication. So influence is one of my favorite topics, and I've read a little bit about it, and I enjoy it, and it's how to speak with others, how to work with others. You know, and it's Andrew, it's what we do here. We become experts in what we do, and experts in our communication, and good parents to our children, because I have a 2-year-old that's popping up on the seat next to me right now who wants to get on video. Dare, you want to get on video? Do you want to say hi?
Say hi to the world.
All right, go to mommy.
She's more of a...
They can only hear you. You want to see video?
No.
No? All right, then go find mommy or your sister.
Have some coffee.
I can't influence her to do anything unless I bribe her, but that's another topic. But
that's another
Andrew
topic.
Has some great workshops, and you know, you put it out there, Andrew, that she has a vibe so early in our conversation, and she's approachable. She's comfortable. Go get something, lovey. Go find it, honey. Go find it. Oh, she's going the wrong way. She's going to the tequila cabinet.
Not there.
His dad need a drink.
The usual Thursday morning location. Yeah.
Why not? So, yeah. So, we've done a lot of good stuff and a lot of great networking together. And, honey, yeah, I see you found a happy birthday present. You can have whatever you want right now because daddy's talking. Yeah. She knows she can get away with anything right now.
Oh, wait till dad. She didn't say anything until you started talking. That's dynamic communications right there.
Go get him. I'm throwing him to the other room playing fetch.
Go get him.
These are the perks of working from home.
Oh, yeah.
I say there's a lot of silver lining and perks for working from home. I've met so many of my clients' children, Aaron, sitting on their lap, wanting to know who mommy and daddy are talking to every week. They start hearing my voice while I coach them on Zoom while we were home. And I've met more little kitties in the last few months that I wouldn't have met with their parents coming to my office. So it's been fun.
So Andrea, is that something that now you're kind of, obviously in the last few months, are you doing like the whole Zoom thing? And have you been talking to people about like adjusting to this new kind of world we're living in?
Yeah. So on that note, see, the baby's not talking to you now, Aaron, because you're not on. Absolutely. I have an office in Toms River on Water Street. So a lot of my clients like to come into the office, obviously, and we connect and we have fun there. But I've always worked with people on Zoom and on. Hello, precious. Hi. Good morning. I've good always morning. Worked with people on Zoom. And on. Oh,
I'm putting her on mute. She found some birthday candles, so we'll just keep her muted for a minute. Say peace out.
Peace out.
So I've always had people on Zoom, FaceTime, and just via telephone, because I have clients that are in other states or far within the state, Florida or whatnot, anywhere in the country they can be. But most of my clients love to just come to the office, feel the energy. They feel that they're paying attention more because they blocked out that time. So I used to go to their offices a lot. A lot of my clients, I would go up and meet them in their conference room just to keep it convenient for them. But they're always getting interrupted in phone calls and they're not really out and paying attention. And they're paying, and we're here to do some work and I want them to give themselves the time and attention that they deserve to hit their goals. So they come to me, they like that, it works nice. During the pandemic, if we're calling it that, during the pandemic, like everyone, I stopped going to the office. I blast it. If you'd like to do Zoom, I set everyone up on Zoom or phone calls, and we did that. I would sit on the deck or, I have a home office. I'm not in it right now. I'm kind of just floating in the middle. But we would do that, and it worked out nice. I'm back in my office. Some people still might call in if they're not comfortable to be in the office. But a lot of them were looking forward to getting back to working there.
So you feel like there's more of a connection, or it's easier for people to kind of maybe open up if you are in like a one-on-one kind of personal kind of situation?
I know for a fact it works phenomenal. What's interesting is when I went to school for coaching, I would say maybe even 90%, it might be more, of coaches work with people over the phone. And I've worked with a lot of my clients that have had coaches before, and they've worked with people over the phone. And I think part of my reputation, besides that customized attention and I don't have a cookie cutter plan for anybody, it's very individualized, is the connection, and maybe it's the vibe that you guys complimented me on, that people like to feel that energy and kind of feel that love and attention and that someone's really listening and validating. So they love coming and working in person with me.
So
it's hard to hold people accountable over the phone. I mean, it's, how do you get somebody to be accountable over the phone? I know early COVID, Zoom, fine, you can have some accountability, but I know it definitely fades with respect to the video conferencing stuff. I mean, it's got to be a challenge for many people to feel that they're accountable to something when it's just looking into a camera.
Yeah.
I don't really feel that problem, ironically, because what the clients that I have, they know what I expect from them, and I set that up early on with them, and accountability is the only thing that makes the results happen. So they're not being accountable to me. I make that clear. They're being accountable to their own goals. I'm the person that's like, I always say to my clients, you're in the driver's seat, I'm the co-pilot. You say where you want to go, I make sure that your ass gets there, you know? So if you're not accountable, it's that you don't really want to get there. And I always make it fun, and I give them things to do, and we check in between sessions. And say it's Monday, by Wednesday they were supposed to make some call or some contact. I want to know Wednesday night that it was done. I'm not waiting a whole week. So they have to let me know how they're going to let me know. Are you texting me, calling me, emailing me? How are you sending me a picture? They're joining the gym, which is not right now, right? But anything, they'll take a picture and say, look, I'm at the gym. Like, I don't wait a whole week or 2 weeks, whatever their intervals are, to find out. I tell them if something good happens or something bad happens, please let me know when it's happening. Let's celebrate it or diffuse it and make it go away as soon as possible. Don't wait a whole week and then tell me, you know, the walls caved in. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to waste so much time repairing that? So we're kind of on it sooner. That helps the accountability and to keep them motivated. I'm not telling them what to do. They're telling me what they want. And I'm just breaking it up into, you get to know people's personalities real quick on what they can handle. Some people want a lot. Some people want a little. In the beginning, they all say a lot because they're paying for a service. Mm-hmm. So they want to, you know, eat the elephant in one bite. And I let them roll with it. And I say, okay, we'll see. And then the first week, they're like, well, let me tell you what happened, why I didn't get all that done. I go, break this down into smaller bites. I'd rather you do something small and accomplish it than put something big and then come up with excuses. They feel like shit and I didn't get anywhere with them. So, and that's my job, to see what they can do and not to say, no, that's too little. I tell my, tell me where you want to go. And I look at it as stairs. And the top of the stairs is the goal. And I tell them, you could go quick, you could go slow, you could even skip some steps. But either way, you're taking the steps, we're getting up there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So my job is to analyze that and to pull them back and call them out on it if it's too big or too much because of circumstances that might be going on that week, that month, the holiday, sick, you know, temporary changes, and we alter it. So the accountability always happens.
Accountability, motivation, breaking it up into you know, edible bites there. I like I like all that. I'm motivated. This is great. Morning edition, this should just be every week we should just do. This is a perfect morning.
I'm going to show you. This is my folder, right? My logo is, you saw.
Yeah,
the middle, on my folders inside, and this is on my website, I have it right here in the middle. I mean, right here. And it says, sometimes the... Hold on with my mic. Can you hear me? The smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step of your life. Tiptoe if you must, but take the first step. So we just talk about getting started, do doable steps, be accountable, and have a fun time doing it. I like to have a lot of fun. I'm a little bit sarcastic and fun. You know, I alter that with a lot of empathy and concern on serious issues because I deal with a lot of serious stuff with people as well. But to have fun with it, and don't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. It's about moving forward every week, moving forward, moving forward. We only need to do 1% to get huge goals. It's not everything.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Consistent and persistent.
So you made, you know, you worked in, you know, you were a sales leader, you worked as an educator, you know, you had these various occupations before just going straight up, you know, certified professional coach. What was that like for you? And were there people there or situations that motivated you to realize this is what you should be doing? Or was this kind of a thing where you just realized it and you kind of just transitioned from doing these jobs into doing what you're passionate about?
Great question. Thank you. Not many people ask that. It's a little combination of both, actually, because I've always been in helping fields. I was in education for a while, and even in education, I work with adults in high school and always setting them up for their future and putting that extra effort in. I worked on a grant for 5 years, setting up people internships, work experiences, I was a school to work liaison, actually, merging students with the business world and bringing them together for them to have real life experiences and understanding. You know, in high school, every kid used to say, oh, I don't need to do this. I'm going to own my own business. And they think when you own your own business, Aaron, that you're just eating, you know, that you're golfing every day. And I tell them that's only once a month here, right? In New Jersey.
only twice a week.
Yeah, only twice a week. But I would set them up with the owners of businesses for them to actually see that they open packages, that they order, that they go to meetings. But going back to your question a little bit, but yeah, I always wanted to do a little of both. I always wanted to help people. And a lot of my experience in the past has helped me decide that I wanted to do this because I was a sales rep all over New Jersey.
I
put some companies on the map, a company out of Colorado and Texas. People referred me as like, you know, go getter. So when I work with my business clients and we're talking about follow up, I'm like, I've done follow up and customer service and getting your name out there and being persistent and finding different ways to hit the goal. And, you know, so I tell them I might have a lot of initials after my name from different schoolings and certifications and different things that I've taken in my life. I don't even put them on my stuff because to me it's just a lot of letters. But I always say the most important is my LIFE, life, because between family, life, parenting, and working myself and being a sales rep and running three businesses throughout my time, that's really where I get the experience to share with my clients. Along with the schooling that I went to and all the tools that I have just through coaching has been phenomenal. I mean, I love the school that I went to. I think it's the best in the best. I think it's in 32 countries, maybe more now. And I did a lot of research before I picked them. Headquarters is in Monmouth County, by the way.
Nice.
For my school.
What's it called?
IPEC. IPEC is the school. It's actually Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. Nice. The headquarters is right in Shrewsbury, but they're in like 32 or more countries. Phenomenal program.
So you mentioned before you have a daughter going to college. So that must be nice to let the bird out of the nest there. Is she like every day? Is she just like, all right, enough with the motivating, Mom? I'm motivated. I'm motivated enough. You've been motivating me for 18 years. I'm fully motivated. Is she? Do you have like a rapport? Like, do you have to kind of switch off the coach and put on the mom hat? Like, how does that work? How does that interaction work?
That's a great question. And I guess my honest answer would be different years. It has been different. She's like, people will say she's a mini me. Her friends all through life and school go to her as well to ask her questions. While she was at those pivotal ages in high school, that 14, 15, 16, no matter what I said, she go, your clients might love you and you might help everyone else, but you don't know me. You're not helping me. So she went through that for a little bit, which always like, you know, like, and I would have to say, take the coach hat off, Andrea. And she would say to me, don't talk to me like I'm one of your clients. Don't coach talk me. And I'm like, it's just natural. You know, we become our job a little bit. So I would have to go into mommy mode, which is take it down, really listen, and not have the answer. Because with coaching, with therapy, sometimes people don't want an answer. My business clients want me to fix everything. They want answers, for sure. But in true coaching, all answers come from within. And I'm not supposed to fix it for you. My job is to ask the empowering questions for you to find the answer from within. So that way you own it, you buy into it, and then I help you execute it. And so I would have to remember some of those deeper coaching skills and then put on my mommy hat, which is a lot more love and listening and not having the answer for that age group that wants to come up with their own and just be heard.
So
now that she's 19. And she said she'd never do what I do. Now that she's 19, she's definitely a resource for people. People come to her to seek out information on topics that she's passionate about. And I find her really following in my footsteps in a lot of ways. And we're best friends. And Oh. It's a lot different now, and she has a huge respect for me. She asked me to help friends of hers. My mom will help you. Come listen, whether it's career changes, you know, talking to them how to start up. I love to do startup businesses. And so at her age, her friends in their 20s are starting up businesses. These young kids have great ideas, and I'll help them put it together. They get a lot of free coaching around here, I'll say.
That's
so with young people right now, I mean, there's so much uncertainty for experienced people that have never experienced what we're in right now. Mm. I mean, what is your advice to that high schooler, that teenager that thinks they know everything and are trying to navigate these uncertain waters and remote schooling and 2 days of school? Like I played golf on Tuesday, and one of the caddies, a student of Middletown South, said, "Oh, what's your school schedule? What's your plan?" He's like, "Well, we have the option." He's like, "I'm going to take the option and go to school, but it's only 2 days a week for a half a day each day." So he's in class Monday and Tuesday. He's like, "The rest of the week, I'm just going to caddy." So he's intent on, from what he told me, was going to school for 8 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then continuing to caddy to earn some money for the rest of the week, because the Zoom and virtual schooling is very minimal accountability because the teacher's in the classroom for those additional 4 hours. So where do these kids go? What can they do, and how are they going to put themselves in position A?
So that's really interesting. And even saying myself that I was working with my daughter, she's going to be doing online, and we didn't want to go back and forth. The school opening is in school opening. So literally I've spent the last 3 days putting a lot of time into finding full 100% online schools for her, because we don't want to go back and forth and figure it out. So we're just making a total change right now. But interesting on that is that I feel that, one, the kids right now, we started with kids, you know, usually at that age know everything. I don't think that that's their attitude right now, which has really changed, because these are really unprecedented times that nobody knows what's going on. And they see their parents and everywhere, that nobody knows what's going on. So that little edge of attitude that kids usually have, where I know, you're old, you don't know, I don't think they have. They're really looking to adults, I find, more than ever, to go, what do you think? How should I play this out? They're not that, as I don't know, I'd like to say cocky, as they normally are with I know everything. They're almost like, what the heck's going on? Where are we going from here? What's going to happen to me? I know my daughter's age group, they're feeling, I say that they're not little kids like yours, that they don't really know what's up. They just know something different's going on. They're at that age that they're really in tune with what's going on. And it's scary, because like my daughter thinks I've lived through everything. No matter what you bring up, I've had quite a colorful life. Let's leave it at that. That's part of my LIFE experience, right? A colorful life. And she said to me, "Mom, has this ever happened during your lifetime? What's going on?" I said, "House arrest? No, we've never had this before." So that's scary. Right there, I saw her almost, and I had to realize my influence on her. Like, no, everything is very different. This hasn't happened. She sees what's happening with all my business people talking to me, having Zoom at home. She got to listen in on just that concern. How am I going to run my office? What do I do to my employees? We're going to be working from home. Should I stop? What should I do? And so she hears some people panic, some people nervous, some people taking advantage of this time. And so there's a lot going on. I don't think they're as sure as there's a lot of changes. And like my sister's son was going to go to Florida State, one of the Florida schools. And she said to me the other night at dinner, she says, "I'm not sending him for X amount of money a year when they're going to sit in their dorm, still be remote. They can't play sports. They can't go into another dorm. They're just sitting there and I'm paying for that." She said, "I switched him over to a local college here in town and he could take all his classes there for now until school opens for this year." And I said to her, "Well, that's great. You're going to save money. He'll stay local. He could work. He's a sailing instructor, whatever." But at the same time, I said, "You know how many kids life's paths are going to change due to this, because some kids will end up working with their parents, taking a different route, maybe running, you know, getting a job at the golf course and a different opportunity opens up, deciding they don't want to go to school. So many changes are going to happen because of this. They're not going to all go back to that path. We know when we take different roads on our journey, sometimes that road looks appealing. We just stay on it, or you get stuck on it, you know? So it could be good or bad, but it's definitely going to be not what we plan. Our job is just to try to see a path and follow it, but who knows where it's going to take us. So I think I would say to them, find a new path that feels comfortable for what we know for sure now. Mm-hmm. And set it up that it could merge back into where you were planning on going. But if it doesn't, not to be devastated, because young people are being overwhelmed, anxiety, depression, suicidal, because they're not in control. And that's the part on my end, my serious side, that's been really daunting and keeps me up at night a little bit, because I've had some clients very worried mm-hmm. that they're not in control. And none of us are. It's about adapting like water to the new situation. I always say, act like water. Water will always find a route and be adaptable. But if you're not adaptable, this isn't a great time for you. So I think my final answer on that, I know it was a little long-winded, would totally be create a new path that feels just as comfortable and see, and try to make it merge into where you wanted the big plan to be. But if not, know that that route can take you to the destination as well.
Yeah.
That's so great. It's you know, be it, you say water. So, all right, the river has a dam. So you're going to find a new way around to get back to the other side. That's it's a good analogy. There was also an ESPN episode show on Bruce Lee, and they called it Be Like Water. So
flow. You got to flow.
You gotta flow and be strong. And water is the softest yet the strongest material on the planet. So it's
not gonna stop.
Yeah.
And that has been my advice across the board. In the beginning of the pandemic and staying home, I was shooting out some videos myself, just letting people know I'm here if you need to talk to me. Whether they were clients, whether people were paying, not paying, you know, we all have different professions, and at different times we all help out. That has nothing to do with money, right? Exchange of money. It's just doing what we do. Well, I advertise in Psychology Today. That's one of my market areas. And although I am a life coach and not a psychiatrist, because of the school I went to, it's the only school that they allow to advertise with therapists, which was wonderful because they know our schooling. Okay. I guess they looked into it. So I've been advertising on Psychology Today for a long time. So I've lost some clients through the pandemic. I mean, maybe in 1 or 2 weeks, 13 clients dropped out because they weren't working. They were in froze mode. We don't know what's going on. We can't come. I'll wait till we can go back into your office and whatnot. And then I had a lot of people that stuck with me, and then some people since then have come back. But in that time, I got a lot of new clients. And my new clients came from Psychology Today because people a month and a half in started feeling nervous, anxious, no job, financial, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my business. My business can't open. A lot of different issues. And they're serious because I was just letting people know, if you're friends with me on Facebook, like just letting people know if you or anyone you know needs help. You know, if we're doing a bunch of coach sessions, that's one thing. But if someone just needs a connect, a talk, little hotline friend, I let my community know, like I was here to kind of create a plan and to wrap your head around what is and to let go of we're not in control. And it's kind of the same thing I do when people have temporary situations with maybe a parent that's sick and they're living with you. And they're like, I can't fit all this into my schedule. And I do a lot with time management. And I say, take a few things off your schedule. It's temporary. When things are temporary, we move off some permanent things temporarily, and then we can put them back on. People always want to add, 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 add. We only have 24 hours in the day. So if you're adding a bunch of temporary important stuff to your life, your schedule, remove some low-level things on your schedule temporarily. Pay a cleaning person, don't clean. Do Peapod, don't go to the food store. You know what I mean? Have someone help with something else. You know, skip cleaning, you know, something that you would normally do two times a week. Whatever, it's temporary. Because we can't, that's why people get stressed out and lose their, you know, lose it. Because they just put too much on, too much responsibility, too much on their plate. So give up something temporarily, give yourself a break, and stay focused on what's important, prioritizing.
So you mentioned, you mentioned before, you know, people, business owners, you know, they have employees. You know, they're worried about the employees coming into work or worried about the sustainability. And, you know, I've heard this with other companies where, you know, they're running a business and they have these employees. They're trying to get them back in the office. And it's a struggle because if people are on unemployment or if they're scared of COVID, they don't want to come back in, but you're trying to run your business. Like if a business owner came to you and was like, how do I solve this problem? How do I talk to my employees and let them know that, you know, we got to get everything back to normal, you know, in some sense, in some kind of, you know, semblance of normality. Like how would you approach something like that where you could kind of coach the boss on how to talk to the employees?
I've been doing a lot of that in the last month. You know, I tell them all the same thing. Tell them if they don't want to work, you could replace them.
Nice. Very harsh. I love it.
Yeah.
Tough love.
I'm definitely a straight shooter. They call me the cleanup crew, right? And they see me come into a new office. They're like, oh, we know your reputation. We're getting fired. I go, no, we're just getting rid of the people that don't want to work.
Nice.
Really easy. But really, I've helped a lot of companies go back and transition back to work. The thing is, I always say, people get nervous when there's quick changes. So, you know, let's break it to them. Send them an email, tell them we're going to be doing a Zoom. The Zoom's going to be a little home group meeting. I'm all about being organized with an agenda so they know what's on the agenda. You're really letting them know, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing. I believe in the buy-in with everything. The thing is, when we run our house, when we run our businesses, if you're the boss, you can pull all the shots and everyone has to deal with it or not deal with it. But the thing is, if they don't like it and they don't know where your head is and you don't do the buy-in, they'll do it because you're paying them, but they may be miserable. They're talking about you. They're not in it with you. So I do the same. I teach them to do the same thing I do when I come into a new business, because a lot of times I work with their whole staff, all their employees, and they say, oh, I'm going to hire you and you're going to work with everyone. You're going to work with all my salespeople. And I say, can the first meeting after I work with the owner, can our first meeting be just a group meeting with your whole office? They say, why? I say, because I want to get the buy-in from them. And they'll say to me, no, I'm telling them that they're going to have to do this. No, we're going to be more successful if they want to do it. So I want the buy-in. And the buy-in is letting them know what the plan is, having that family feeling like this is where we're at. This is what we need to do. Are you on the team? Are you here to work with us? Like the guy does when, what's the show, the restaurant show, when they come in and the guy's coming in to save restaurants.
Bar Rescue.
It's kind of the same. Yeah, Bar Rescue. And he comes in and he's like, are you with us or aren't you with us? This is what's going on. This is what needs to be done. It's the buy-in. When you have the buy-in from people, they'll do anything for you. And so I always say, have a little meeting with your group, whether it's on Zoom or in person, let them know what's coming down the pike, tell them why, what we're gonna do, and answer all of their inquiries and their worries or their fears, put them at bay. And if your agenda's really good, we already covered them, and there's, you know.
You can kind of point out the people maybe in that group too that aren't, you know, I don't wanna say bad apples, but like the people that aren't like, you know, a part of a team or that team player. So that's interesting. And it kind of lends itself to what you were saying before, as far as influence. And I think people, I think people
it's
sometimes
how you talk to them, right?
Yeah, like I think with
it's the communication of how you're going to get that buy-in. You could say, "We're all going back. The office is going to open. I need everyone there on Monday." And they're bitching and moaning behind the scenes. They're talking to their spouses. They're like, "How can you do this?" And then they start sending emails and calls with excuses that I'm sick and my whole family has a immunity issues and everyone has every ailment all of a sudden and it's a big fear for them, but you can't fire them. And all that BS, that's what I call it. So instead, we get the buy-in. This is what we're going to do. Do you have any concerns? How would you like me to set you up? These are the precautions I'm already taking. I've helped some people that have salons up in Asbury that opened up their salons. I have attorneys that opened up their offices. I have financial people. And we just went through the steps. What are we going to do? How are we going to work with our clients? What is the email that we're going to send out? The shout out to our clients, how we're doing our protocol, how we're taking precautions. I have some attorneys that are checking people with their temperature, of other people keeping distance. Some people have plexi, salons separating chairs for doing appointments only. Most of the people are doing, kind of like appointments, lighter schedules, not having people sitting in waiting rooms and waiting areas at a time, and taking different precautions like that. I mean, I'm in an office with my clients. I do not wear a mask in my office. I have the black ones from Hanes I bought. I got the medical ones. I have a box of them at my office. I do not wear a mask in my office. I told my clients via email. I always let people know what's up. My office is going to be open. I will not be in a mask. If you're comfortable to be in my office, they know the space and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to make appointments that way. If you're uncomfortable and you don't, we could continue the way that we're doing it. Let everyone make their own decisions. We're adults. We're business people. We've functioned through X amount of years making decisions. And as a business coach, people should make their own decisions. I love that. Mm-hmm. So make your own decision where you're comfortable and what works for you when you go about your business. And those that don't want to go to work and you don't want to set them up for a really good reason at home, then, they could go on unemployment because you let them go and you could replace them. There's a lot of people dying to go back to work. I don't worry about that. And you should know your employees by now. Who's the person that always has the excuse? Who's BSing you? Who just wants to sit on the beach all day? Who's not a team player? And I don't have a problem letting people go that don't really want to work. I feel like as a business, we're running a business to make money and serve our clients. That's our mission. That's in your mission statement. If they don't want to serve your clients and help the business, then they have no business being in your business. This is, and that's it. And that's okay. And
have you
Facebook pages and whatnot, voicing my opinion about, it's time to work. And if you don't want to work, move over so someone could do the job that wants to do the job. And it's okay. There's no judgment on people that don't want to work. That's fine.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it, just get the hell out of here. So
wait, someone else do it.
Aaron, have you seen, in regards to that, have you seen any, like, does that fall under like EPLI, like employment practices liability, or have you seen any companies kind of contacting you about these situations like that we were just talking about?
A month ago, 2 months ago, where there was a lot of conversation about it. And as you know, I failed with bringing my staff back into the office. We went back full time remote with some new protocols put in place. And that's okay. And it's an interesting, it's a touchy situation because the governor still says if you're able to work remote, you should still work remote. But at this time, we've seen the EPLI, the employment practices issues, simmer down for the time being. They'll probably ramp back up again with more whistleblower type complaints. Mm-hmm. For people feeling uncomfortable being at work. Mm. It's still unprecedented and it's still unlitigated when it comes to people having to perform their jobs in certain places and how they're going to go about doing it. There's still lots of conversation and legislation for how claims are going to be handled if somebody does get sick, if they are on the front lines. and how they're going to be compensated. So there's years ahead of us of unknowns that have to continue to unravel as we continue to navigate and pivot and make changes. And my recommendation to people is always do the best by your business and follow whatever protocols are in place for those quote unquote CDC guidelines, and operate safely, and then you shouldn't have a problem. So if you document everything and you have an employee still not willing to cooperate and participate in the way you want to operate your business safely, then as Andrea says, you can replace them, and you have other causes to remove somebody. Do you have a risk of litigation coming at you? Absolutely, but hopefully most people have some insurance in place to protect themselves from it.
That's good. And the other thing is that if it's 6 feet away, then unless these people have not left their house to go to the food store, to go to the pharmacy, let's see all the things, liquor stores, lottery, food stores, right? You could cook in between. You can, you could go into the ocean for an hour. It's like they think, oh, I'm not comfortable. And I say, well, what do you do all day? What's your schedule from morning to night? Do you think they haven't left the house? That friends, family haven't come in? When people go, I'm only around people that I know, and you know where all of those people, it's like a sexual transmitted disease. It's the same thing. Do you really know where every single person has been? No, you don't. So either you're with one person or just your family or you're not. If these people have not left their home, I would never fire them. Oh, you've been home for 6 months and haven't seen another human besides your family? Sure, stay home. I get it. Your pet petrified. You have a reason. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, they've been out and about. So if you could be out and about, you could get your ass to work. That's how I truly feel. And they can sit there and do their job, and you could space them around. And in your business, your clients may be on the phone, so you don't even have to have people coming in and out for an insurance business, right? Like a flow of walk-ins. It's not even that dangerous. It's not like you're even at a restaurant or a hair salon or some. You could get tattoos. I mean, they're on top of you, but you can't sit in your booth. You have very spaced out office, Aaron, and there's no reason that people are even on top of each other at all. So there's plenty of space for people to be. And by people staying home, all the real estate businesses don't even need to rent space for 6 months that you have to pay for if no one's going to be in it, if everyone's remote. So they're changing the whole canvas of our life, yeah. Our businesses. I think it's horrible.
Yeah, it's definitely something to get used to. And I mean, I think that people were, you know, kind of lulled into this false sense of, like, you know, stability over time. They're just like, oh, this is how it is. This is what we have to do. And it's kind of works on sort of a metaphorical level where, you know, people kind of get in these ruts with their jobs and they're just doing what they think they need to do. And maybe they're not kind of focusing on what they want to be, you know, actually doing or their passions and stuff. And sometimes it takes, you know, it's unfortunate for a lot of businesses that, you know, are having a horrible time, having a rough time. But it's times like these also that lead people to kind of make different choices, kind of like what you were saying before about, you know, the student being in Florida and then being home. It leads you down these different paths and avenues. So, you know, it might not be the best thing, but it's you kind of have to stay positive and just kind of pivot and know that things are going to change and be prepared for that, you know, inevitability.
And the truth is that it is really hard for a lot of, I love working from home. I've had home-based offices for years. I have an office here. I live on the bay, so I have clients that come on my deck. They like, oh, can I meet you on your deck instead of the office? Mm-hmm. Because I work with people for a long time, I get to know them. But either way, a lot of people aren't good working from home. Some people love it, some people don't. And even the people that work from home, some of my advice we talked about earlier was, if you're that type of person, I don't care if you're not being seen on Zoom, get dressed. Do what you would do. Keep with a little bit of a routine. Get up, take your shower, get dressed, feel good. I'm in heels right now in my house. Even when I do Zoom, I'm like dressed for work. Because I think that's important, because you have to keep your head on, I'm on work mode. And a lot of people get sad and they get depressed. They need to be around people. There's a lot of people that work for all of us that don't have a family, perhaps. They live alone. They need to get out. They need to interact, to be in traffic, you know what I mean? Just to go in and just socialize a little bit. And that keeps their morale up and keeps them happy. And when people aren't happy, they get stressed. And when we're stressed, our immune system goes down. When your immune system goes down, we get sick. So to me, getting out isn't just about people say, oh, you're just worried about businesses staying alive. No, it's about mental health, truthfully, because when we're sad, we get sick, and all the things that keep people happy are other people, socializing, interacting with people, seeing people, being touched by people, whether it's a handshake, a tap on the shoulder, a good morning hug, some of my clients that are on the phone through the pandemic, I said, let's do a Zoom next week. They're like, oh, I'm not dressed, or I have the kids home, or I said, I don't care if you're a hot mess. Don't worry about it. Let's talk. And then they like it more, because you need to interact with people. It's really important for the psyche and for the morale and to motivate. And then, like Aaron, your clients talk to clients. If every day it's like, hi, LG Insurance, you want that bubble. Hi, this is Andrew with LG Insurance. How may I help you? Oh, no problem. We got that. You want that upbeat. And people lose that biz when they're in this funk that they're, I call it house arrest, that they're locked in their house. Healthy people locked in. Well, they're not going to stay healthy if you stay locked in. You need to get out. Be healthy. I tell everyone to go out for a bear and jump in the ocean. Water makes people happy.
Get out, be healthy. I like that. That's pretty good.
Well, water makes people happy, and it reduces anxiety and depression for a fact. And it's what is it called? Negative air ions or something. And so it's really important to get out and be by bodies of water. It's really good for, and sunshine, and we all know that. So the sun and water and fresh air and socializing does a body good.
I agree with that.
I think we covered a lot. What's the best way, Andrea, for people to get in touch with you? Because I feel like people do need to get in touch with you, basically.
Thank you, Andrew. That's a nice. I guess I would say either coachwithandrew.com is my website. Mm-hmm. My phone number for work is 732-330-1062. I'm on Psychology Today, Andrew Plera Coaching. That's the name of my company, Andrew Plera Coaching. So you can Google it. You go on my website. Everything's pretty easy. Coach with Andrew Facebook page, coachwithandrew@gmail.com.
What about you, Aaron? What are you going to be up to? Are you going to enjoy the rest of this muggy, cloudy day? What are you going to be doing, working from home?
I am working from home today, because mm-hmm. we my wife and I have to split and take care of the kids together. So we got to get Elle to her hip hop class.
Nice.
So she can get her dance on. That's which great. Also makes people feel good. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, so we gave our nanny a couple of days off. So we just got to pivot and take care of kids and get some work done. And I've got a great staff behind me, so they're going to get everything done that needs to get done. And I'll jump in where I need to jump in, and we're going to be good. Hopefully get to the beach later or tomorrow and really just try to enjoy what we can enjoy.
Awesome. All right. Well, Andrea Pallara, thank you so much for joining us. Aaron Levine, always a pleasure. This has been Totally Local Podcast. Everything you need to know about the Monmouth and Ocean County area, Jersey Shore, my favorite place to be. Check us out on Instagram, totally_local_podcast. Check us out on Facebook. I mean, if you're watching this, you're here already, so congratulations. totallylocalpodcast.com, and listen in on any kind of major podcast place that you listen to podcasts. Spotify, iTunes, Google, wherever. We're everywhere. We're everywhere you want to be. Online. And the Jersey Shore.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Bye, Andrea.